the Coin Task Force. That's the new task force that we have here. The Coin Task Force. They've issued a statement regarding the circulation of coins and their slowdown with the COVID-19 pandemic continuing to disrupt the normal circulation of coinage in the United States economy. The U.S. Coin Task Force issued a statement on Friday describing the circulation slowdown and urging consumers to get coins back into use. The task force, which includes ABA alongside representatives from the Fed, the U.S. Mint, the armored car industry, food distribution, and other sectors, urged consumers to start spending more coins. The ones maybe you've been collecting in a jar at home while observing coronavirus-related precautions, of course. Deposit coins at their financial institutions and redeem coins at retail coin kiosks. The task force also urged people to use the hashtag, which is hashtag GetCoinMoving, in social media posts to help public better understand the issue. You know what? I'm a little confused myself as I'm reading that. So I guess maybe to help you and I better understand this is the ranking member of banks here in our state legislature and a good friend of mine, State Representative Tom Delnicki. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. Do you have any spare change?
Can you spare a dime? No, I can't, actually. You know, a lot of people, though, people have a coin jar or a penny jar or something like that. They just put their coins from the day, they just kind of throw it in a jar, and at the end of the year, they count it all up, and hey, who knows? Maybe I got to start returning more bottles.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you think about where we were back in March. You know, the economy basically got shut down. The banks closed their lobbies, supermarkets. They were only doing some very, very careful management of things. Small businesses were closing. Restaurants were closed. There was a myriad of issues going on. And you think about it, you collect coins, you've got the jar. How are you going to turn them into cash? Mm-hmm. So you go to the bank, and the lobby's closed. You know, People's United is my bank. And I had a huge container of coins, and I literally could not redeem them because you couldn't really put them in the drive-in teller window. Obviously, you can't put them in the pneumatic tube because they weigh too much. Mm-hmm. So they accumulated. And I'm just one of many people that collect the coins up. They go to the bank periodically. They turn them in. You know, couple that with the fact that the Mint, U.S. Mint, was operating on a reduced staff, and they weren't running as many hours or producing as many coins as they typically could. You know, that was all well and good during the period of time where we were all encouraged to make our transactions by credit card, by debit card, mm-hmm. You know, pay electronically. Don't have coins, don't have cash, don't do this, don't do that. Now, you fast forward to when we started reopening the state and reopening businesses. Now, suddenly, you had a situation where people still couldn't turn those coins in because the bank lobbies were closed. Supermarkets that had some coin kiosks, a number of them actually charge a percentage for a service fee.
Do they really?
I was surprised. When I talked to some folks about this issue, and a couple of people said to me, well, why would I go to a kiosk at a supermarket where they might charge me, you know, 5%? And I said, 5%? You're kidding me. And the individual said, no, I'm not. I wish I was. So couple the closed lobbies with the fact that we were reopening the economy and people had, you know, jars of coins laying around. And now suddenly you have a shortage. You know, as hard as it is to believe, there's typically somewhere around $48 billion in coins circulating in the economy.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I couldn't believe it when I looked up the numbers. And when you put a stop on that or you slow it down, you know, think of the unintended consequences that occur. Now, I'm going to recount a little story from about 2 weeks ago. I finally realized that, you know what, the lobbies are open. I can go in there. I can bring my coins in there. So I go over to People's United on a Saturday, and I walk in, and there's three people at the coin machine. And each one had large containers of coins.
Mm-hmm.
The person in front of me, I couldn't help but notice, because they got a display on there that counts the coins and tells you how much money you're going to receive in exchange for the coins. The person turned in like $300 worth of coins.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I couldn't believe it. Well, in my case, I had a coffee can full of coins, and that was like $117 worth of coins that I turned in.
That's still a lot of money.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I use Battison's cleaners here in town for all my laundry, my suits, etc. And I asked them if they were having any problems, and they said no. But they're unique among a lot of business folks, because they've got a machine. People buy the coins. They put them in the washing machine, the dryer, whatever, and they take them out and they put them back in the machine. So they literally had a circular return, and they didn't have any problems. But, you know, you take the folks that don't have credit cards, that don't have the ability to have a debit card,
mm-hmm.
and now they can't get a hold of change, and they're being told that, well, you know, you've got to make your exchanges electronically. And that really put a pinch on me.
Oh, yeah, sure. Speaking with State Representative Tom Delnicki, who was the ranking member of our legislature's banks committee, some conspiracy theorist, Tom, will say, well, this is just a step to try to get us into a cashless society. What would you say to that?
I would say no, it's not a step to do that, but I've got to be perfectly candid with you. They've done studies, and when people are required to use credit cards only, they typically spend more money than they would if they were paying by cash.
Well, yeah, because it's not directly their money. It's the credit card bank's money. I grant you, and you got to pay it back, but it's like you're getting your item now, and you'll pay when you feel like paying, or when you receive the bill, and even when you receive the credit card bill, people don't necessarily pay off the entire amount in which they purchased. They do it over installments.
Right, and it's so easy to just sign on the dotted line at the checkout. You know, when
dangerous.
You use a credit card as opposed to paying with cash. You pay with cash, and I like to pay with cash, Gary.
Me too. Oh, no, I'm that way too, yes.
You know, cash is king in my eye, because it creates a level of discipline that you don't necessarily have with credit cards. And when it comes to credit cards, I make sure I never run up a bill on my credit card that I can't pay off that month when the bill comes. Because if you don't, you trigger, what, 18, 19, 20% interest on that transaction?
Yeah, exactly.
That's usurious.
No, I agree. I hate using my credit card. Matter of fact, I only use it like if you got to rent a car or a hotel or something like that. I'd much prefer cash. But they also tell you not to pay your credit cards off, right? I mean, leave some balance, and when you get it down real low, use it for just for the sake of using it. That you should always have a balance.
Well, I don't buy that for a minute, because I regularly check my credit rating, and I always pay my cards off, and I've seen nothing to actually dun the rating. And I'll go one step further. If you're a person like me and you pay your cards off, you'd be amazed at the number of offers you get. You know, an offer for, you know, if you use your card this month, you get 10% off. You know, I've had that occur. Well, like with my Home Depot, my Lowe's cards, because I always pay them off. And that's like a plus, because they're trying to entice you to spend and to carry some kind of a balance. So the one thing I would say is when you close credit card accounts out,
mm-hmm.
you can have that affect your credit history in some kind of a fashion to the negative. But to have no balance, I've found that it has actually improved my credit rating, and I've talked to some of the folks that deal with credit ratings, and yeah, that's a good indicator that you're a good risk if you're going to borrow money, that you will pay it back, you'll pay it back on time, and you're not going to be the kind of person that they're going to have to chase down. So it does improve your credit rating.
Interesting. I had no idea.
You talked about the task force.
Yes.
You know, government is great at coming up with task forces.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think one of the charges of the task force was to come up with some kind of a plan, a solution, what have you, a report at the end of the month. And I went on the Fed's website over the weekend just to check and see if the plan had actually come out. And it's yet to come out. What a surprise.
So much for the task force.
Well,
anybody can vote for a task force. Whether the task force actually meets or not, that's out of your hands. You know?
Now, what would you know about that from being in the legislature?
Yeah.
About task forces that are created and never report back.
That's right. I created a task force, and after a year, they still hadn't met. So I'm like, well, that's not reassuring. All right, so let's go back to this coin shortage. So. Since it really was due to the coronavirus, and people, let's face it, some businesses are reopening, people are starting to get back out there, particularly now, you know, with summer months or halfway through summer, should we still be concerned about this coin shortage then?
Well, I can tell you this. The Mint is actually producing more coins per month this year than they did in 2019. So, you know, they're stamping out coins. People are turning the coins in. It's one of those deals where you prime the pump and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Okay.
And I'm going to make a prediction that we're going to see everything return to normal probably before the task force ever comes out with a report. And that's just observation. You know, from talking to business folks in the community here, talking to the president of the Chamber of Commerce, and talking to various businesses in the area.
You know, that task force may never come to fruition. So that's not much of a prediction there, Tom.
Well, I always like to take the safe bets. What can I tell you?
Yeah, that's a little too safe, though. All right, so, I mean, should people be not necessarily holding on to their pennies, right? You're saying to use them.
I would say if you've got a bunch of change in a container, take it to your local bank, turn it in, and you're probably going to be surprised you're going to end up with some cash to put in your pocket. And that's a good thing, because I know every time that I take coins in, I always end up bringing in over $100 because I accumulate them over 3, 4, 5 months.
Wow.
So
yeah.
I would make that suggestion because, A, it's good for returning normalcy to coins being in circulation, and, B, it's kind of like found money.
Yes.
You don't realize you have that much money in coins until you actually try to turn them in and you realize just what you got.
Well, that's like with recyclables, with cans and bottles.
Yeah. And now that virtually every bank's got their lobby open and most banks have at least one machine in the general area that they can turn the coins into an actual cash or a deposit into your account, you've got a situation where it becomes that much easier. Because it was really a problem when the lobbies were closed, because you would have to go to a grocery store that had one, and when you typically, if you cash them in at your bank, at your favorite local bank, you get into that habit, and you don't even think to go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
So,
you said something a second ago that really caught my attention. It just hit me that you said that they're minting new coins like they haven't in the past, but then, does that mean that they're going to replace the already circulated coin? Are they taking coins out of circulation in order to do that? Or are we going to have now an abundance of coins?
Well, the Mint typically takes the older coins that are in bad shape and they destroy them. They dispose of them. Just as an aside, in 2019, they were basically minting about $1 billion coins per month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, you think about that. I mean, that's a lot of coins. That's a lot of, copper and silver and zinc. And when you think about the fact that now they're at full production and they're actually minting 1.6 billion coins per month, that, yeah, you know, it's like old dollar bills, old 20s, old 10s, you know, when they reach a point where they're in really, really bad shape, they get incinerated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, coins get into a bad shape and, you know, they typically are taken out of the market. And quite honestly, people forget that they've got the coins laying around, and they accumulate.
Okay.
So,
all right. I guess,
you know,
that
the mint's doing its part to bolster the number of coins out there. If you've got coins that you've accumulated, you know, since March, take them to the bank.
Okay.
Turn them into cash.
Why not?
Put them in your account. Because at least then you can actually use the money for something.
So we don't have much of a coin shortage then.
I mean, not if the
mint is replacing all of the ones. And we're going to take some out of circulation. And, you know, with people now heading back, participating in the economy, that's only going to make things better. Tom, I only got about a minute and a half left. What else is going on?
Well, you know, it's interesting, this whole absentee ballot deal. I had a couple of constituents get a hold of me, and one of them was really, really upset pertaining to the envelopes, to the point where he asked me, can I meet with you? I want to show you something. And I'll be honest, I've never used an absentee ballot before, not familiar.
Me neither.
So you've got an inner envelope that's too big to fit in the return envelope that's supposed to go to the town clerk. Think about that. They made the envelope that goes inside the other envelope too big.
Well, this is like a wedding invitation.
yeah, exactly. And then he shows me, you've got a window. And depending on which way you put your envelope, you can by accident put your own return address in the window, because he had received it back after attempting to send it in to the town clerk here in town. And I said, well, how in the world could that happen? And when he showed me, you know, flipping it back and forth, how you could inadvertently put your own address showing through the window as opposed to the address of the town clerk's office. You know, that's a real issue.
Yeah, another reason just to throw that into the mix, as if there were not increased or heightened opportunity for fraud. But I was surprised that all these Republicans voted for it. I kept on hearing leading up to it that, oh, wow, this is terrible. It opens up for fraud. And, you know.
Well, you know.
20 seconds.
In 20 seconds, one other thing I want to mention, and that's the statement, the sworn statement you have to sign. In the primary ballots, it makes no mention whatsoever of COVID-19.
Yeah.
It just has the five items, and I think we were all taking a leap of faith that it would be done right.
Yeah.
There's problems, obviously, with the primary ballots. The question is it all going to be remedied before the election?
God, I hope so, because there's going to be it just opens up a can of worms. Tom, thanks as always for being with us. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, Gary.
You do the same.
Keep up the good work.